during this training session. starting this week, we study question and answer, which occurs toward the end of Bendowa, written by Dogen. The first question, second questions, and Dogen Denji mentions the how important Zazen or the meditation is. First question is, now I have heard and understand the sublime merits of Zazen. Before this question and answer, Dogen Denji mentions the sublimity of the practice of Zazen. So that's why he says, now I have heard and understand the sublime merit of Zazen. However, an unthinking person might have doubts and say, there are many entrances to the Buddha Dharma, many entrances to the Buddha's world, or spiritual world, or universal world, whatever you say. There are many ways. There are many entrances to the Buddha Dharma. What is the reason for your advocacy of Zazen alone? Can you hear me? So answer is because it is right entrance to the Buddha Dharma. It says reason is why we have to practice Zazen first, as sublimity of practicing and studying Buddha's teaching. It is because it is right entrance to the Buddha Dharma, right entrance. And the second question is, why is it alone the right entrance? The answer is, the great teacher Shakyamuni Buddha, beyond doubt, rightly transmitted Zazen as the wonderful means for attaining the way. Also, the Tathagatas of the three periods all attain the way through Zazen. That is the reason they have transmitted from one to another as the right entrance. That is not all. Patriarchs from the western skies of India to the eastern earth of China all have gained the way through Zazen. Therefore, I now pointed out to men and devas as the right entrance. So this answer is very interesting. The answer to the question number two is, why is it alone? Why is Zazen alone the right entrance? answer is the great tender Shakyamuni Buddha. Beyond doubt, anyway, beyond doubt, Shakyamuni Buddha and the ancestors, many Buddhas, transmitted the wonderful means for attaining the way, also the Tathagata of the three periods all attain the way through Zazen. That is the reason they have transmitted from one to another as the right entrance. That means beyond doubt. Anyway, Buddha Shakyamuni and many Buddha's ancestors just accept this, the practice of Zazen, and learn the, what the Buddha's teaching is, what the universe is, what the peaceful life is. That's why it is called right entrance. Right entrance to the Buddha Dharma, to the universe. Right entrance to get into the peaceful world. So in this case, I think most important point is in Zen Buddhism particularly, Dogen Zenji mentioned the about right entrance. The right means that you have to learn something straightforward without, how can I say, artifice or design, without intention or purposes. Now let me say like this. When you devote yourself to do something using your intention and will, consciousness, with a purpose, and then if you continue to devote yourself to accomplish one thing you want to do, finally you discover that there is no sign of intention and purpose, because you, your whole body and mind becomes one and they work together. For instance, if you look at the football game and the tea ceremony and archery and whatever you do, climb the mountains, rock mountains. First of all, you have to use your consciousness, intention, instead of being enslaved by consciousness or your intentions. You really have to use intention and consciousness and be one with rock mountains and the football, and then you will discover that there is no sign of intention or purpose, because purpose and intentions are completely melted away in right in the middle of dynamic activity of climbing the mountain and playing a football, between a ball and you, between a rock mountain and you. That is called, what to say, straightforward, to learn something straightforward without intention, without intention or artifice or design or purposes. Okay? It doesn't mean you should ignore this or destroy your consciousness or etc. Okay? Is that clear? And that is one point. The second point is what is learning? To learn is not to know something or to put the knowledge into your head. To learn is what is called manebi in Japanese, manebi. Manebi means root of learn in Japanese, okay? The manebi means to imitate or emulate. Is that okay? To emulate or to imitate. This is called to learn in Japanese. But if you say to learn or to study something, you have immediate preconception that you should get some knowledge from object, from teacher, or from your activity itself. Okay? But this is not the real learning, because from this you never experience a totally ripeness. It's pretty difficult to deepen your life. In order to deepen your life, or in order to make your life ripe, I think you should learn human life in the universal perspective. In other words, you should put yourself in the total picture of your life, interconnected, interpenetrated with all being. Then you can learn something. That is called to learn. So to learn is to emulate, to imitate something. Okay. And that's why he says Shakyamuni Buddha and ancestors, all the teachers, anyway, without any doubt, beyond doubt, transmit this sublime practice of meditation from generation to generation up to now, whatever ages change. So that is from the, that is most important. What, how can you learn the sublimity of a human life from your parents, your superior, your grandparents, grandparents? How do you learn? It's pretty difficult to learn the sublimity of your grandparents' life and the grandparents' life and your American ancestors' life. It's pretty hard. Of course you can learn, you can have lots of knowledge of American ancestors and from the book, from the teachers, but that is pretty shaky because that knowledge disappears sooner or later, you know? And also those knowledge doesn't penetrate your body and skin, you know? So I think knowledge is important, but most important point is you have to learn sublimity of human life from your grandparents, from the teachers, from your friends, from the superior. Okay? How? Just, you have to imitate. Emulate. But maybe you have a question, why do we have to emulate or imitate somebody's life, you know? You don't like, that's why Zen Buddhist always complains, you know. Teacher says you should do this or you shouldn't do that. Immediately students, Zen students complain, start to complain because I don't want to be, you know, blind, you know. I don't want to lose myself. Of course I understand. Because pretty self-centeredness, you know. not only Americans, everyone. But particularly, I am very surprised to see American students emphasizing always I comes first. I don't know how to deal with, but I must be always patient. Right in the middle of that self-centeredness you always present, and also I always demonstrate who I am, demonstrate what I am and that which I have learned from the teachers when anyway was teaching etc. So I think this is the most important practice for us. Imitate is not to be parrot. Do you understand parrot? Good morning, you say good morning. It is not imitate or emulate. In the human history, we found the fact that the trees, the two trees, you know, rubbed each other and make a fire. Finally, make a fire. Okay? And then human being discovered the way how to make a fire through this fact. And then human being just imitate. Do you know how to make a fire in the ancient time? Human being exactly imitate what the tree did in order to make a fire. So I think the imitation or emulate doesn't mean just to imitate, but you have to have a creative life. From imitation, from emulating somebody's life, then you can create your life. Otherwise, how can you deepen your life? Okay? So this is most important point, alright? So that is right entrance to Buddha Dharma. If you want to get into the what the peaceful world or what the peaceful spiritual life is, you cannot get any knowledge from that, you know. So you have to put yourself right in the middle of peaceful spiritual life. Mentioned or suggested by teachers and the Buddha's teaching. Anyway, we have to emulate. Okay? That is a zazen, anyway. Okay? Zazen. So, next question is, how can you put yourself right in the middle of what would you say a zazen, and then what you can learn? Then Dogen Zen says San Zen is zazen. San Zen means surrendering, means to surrender to simplicity in life. This is sanzen, which is translated usually the practice. The practice is to surrender to simplicity in life. Simplicity means that which is pretty neat and tidy, unsuffocated, pretty simple. And also within the simple manifestation of life, there is a rich quality of life there. It's simple, but it's not simple you usually understand. But within the simplicity of in your life, there are lots of rich, abundant quality of human life. That is called ripeness. Okay, ripeness. So Sanzen, how can you surrender to simplicity in life? So Dogen Zenji mentioned that is a Zazen. And then he says Zazen is Shinjin, that's Raku, means casting off body and mind, in other words, dropping off body and mind. Or he says, dullness and distraction are struck aside from the beginning. Dullness and distraction are not something you try to remove. If you try to remove, you create more distraction and dullness. Because dullness and distractions are something that they created, produced by your attitude, by your behavior, by your actions, activities. So according to conditioned circumstances, conditional element, conditional circumstances. So you don't know how to be free from. No matter how long you use the technique, psychological, philosophical, or the scientifically, you never get, you know, freedom from dullness and distractions. The moment when you feel freedom from dullness and distraction, immediately you are confused. Right in the middle of freedom of dullness and distraction. That's why human beings constantly, you know, seek for the psychologist to let you be free from, you know, dullness and distractions. You know, you always feed the psychologist. So at the dropping of body and mind, if you do that, then simultaneously the dullness and distraction are struck aside from the beginning. This is a key point of Zazen. That's why Dogen Zenji mentioned this is an essential art of Zazen. Okay, let me say this one. What do you mean by dropping off body and mind? The moment when you do Zazen, the moment when you devote yourself in Zazen, okay? Let me say it like this. That means, let's imagine that you would be in the bathtub, okay? In the cold weather, in the rigors of Minnesota winter. And then your body's become very cold. After that, you put your body right in the middle of bathtub, hot bath, okay? The moment when you put your body and mind in the hot bathtub, what do you say? What do you say? That's pretty simple. That's it. It's not hard, no particular word, that's a simple word. Simple word means ground word coming from the bottom of your heart. When your body and the mind becomes one with the hot water and the hot bathtub and all circumstances, and including your memories and distractions, dullness, all stuff, okay? And then when you become completely one with bathtub, then you can demonstrate simplicity in life, so-called Ah, that's it. Within Ah, who are they? Who are they? Can you pick up for something particular? Pay attention to the just moment, at the very moment when you say, Ah, who are they? What is it? What is there? Can you say? After Ah, you pick up you. Who says Ah? But I am talking about before you say Ah. Okay? Here's a partition, very thin partition, just like a curtain. Curtain is a very thin curtain. Silk. Very thin silk. Silk is still touchable, but that partition is not touchable, but it's still something there. Do you understand? Just like a mist. But a mist is pretty hard to grasp it, but it's there. Okay? And then if you touch it, it disappears and you can get it next door. Right? This is a mason door. Okay, door. So this partition, well, you are coming back to a home and you put your body and mind in the bathtub, okay? And then immediately within this partition, you create your own life, so-called Ah, simple life, okay? And then right before this partition, alright? Right before you touch, this is the very moment, beginning of the moment, okay? Very moment. Before you think of it, before something runs through your consciousness, okay? In that area, I think your body and your consciousness and the waters becomes exactly one, right? That area, that situation is never described, but your body and the waters functioning simultaneously, okay, together. Is that okay? And then next moment you say, Ah. Right? That is the next moment. And then when you say Ah, people are very interested in Ah, what you have demonstrated, then you are involved in so much what Ah means. Or what are they? Hot water and your body and mind. Who makes me saying Ah? You know, something like that. This is a scientific, you know, civilization, modern civilization. And then finally, you don't know where are you going. And also, you completely forget the first stage, the very first stage of your life. Completely you forget. First stage of your life, there are many beings which are functioning interpenetratedly, interconnectedly together. This is oneness. When you look at this sunny, wonderful day, you know, well, how many beings exist when you feel that wonderful sunny days? You say, Ah, wonderful. And before you say, wonderful, how many beings are working together interpenetratedly without any hindrances? Okay, this is called universe, we say. This is called oneness. In the oneness, that is a place where all beings come together and working together and walking hand in hand without hindrances, creating a peaceful world. You know, even the not only the Minnesota, okay? Minnesota, the vigors of Minnesota winter shakes a hand with the winter of Hawaii. In peace. You don't believe it, but this is the truth. The Japanese monkey and talk peacefully with the elephant in India. Can't you believe? You don't believe it. But this is the place where all sentient beings come together and talk together, which is called oneness. We say universe, we say the truth. But if you are involved in so much the dualistic world after creating a world, you completely forget that first stage of your life. That's why spiritual life is constantly to get you back to the first stage, okay? The first stage of a wow. That's it. That's why you don't understand it. But when you are there, completely, the dullness and destruction, the form of five skandhas struck aside from the beginning, then what do you mean? Your body and the hot water becomes one. This is called intimacy, perfect intimacy. Secret intimacy, we say. Secret, very secret, secret intimacy. No gap between. This is called right, meaning of the right. Okay? And also that is a gate entrance to communicate with the universe. Universe means a total picture of your life working together with all sentient beings. Okay? So that is called dropping of body and mind. When you do the thing, immediately you say, ah, that's it. But you don't say ah, because that thing has no particular object, so-called bathtub, you know. So that's why you don't know. You always using your mind and the bodies, and that's it. That is your, so that is a subjectivity and also object. And their whole world comes into you. This. Then that is called, when you say wow, this is called samadhi, we say. Concentration, okay? Total concentration. Total devotion, okay? And also this is called DGU Samadhi, self-joyousness. Self-joyous Samadhi, we call. In other words, this is called, ah, that's it, you know? But in Zazen, you cannot say, ah, because everyone becomes quiet. So, you have to enjoy the self-joyous Samadhi, concentration, right in the middle of Zazen. Okay? This is dropping of body and mind. And then this is what make it possible for this, dropping of body and mind. It is idea, it is a concept or perception. No. Just activity there. Okay? Total activity, which is neat and tidy, so-called simplicity. Simple activity. Simple activity means using your consciousness and using your whole body with wholeheartedness, and then jump into the Zazen, and then this is called simplicity. That is called activity, okay? So our activity is usually very complicated, but in Zazen, activity is very simple, which means very tidy and neat, unsophisticated. Not sophisticated, unsophisticated, excuse me. excuse me. And so it's a very, very pure, simple, okay? So let's, this is why that simple activity is important. In order to experience intimacy, okay? So let me explain this one once more again. The Dogen Zenji explains about washing the robe. How can you wash a robe in Shobo Genzo? Using the water of ashes. In ancient time, we didn't have soap. So using the water of ashes. Okay. So I don't want to explain this one, okay? So I want to explain your washing machine. So look at the washing machine. If you want to wash your dirty clothes, you have to put the dirty clothes in the washing machine. And also, next to pure clean water there, okay? That is called dualistic world. Downness, destructions, anyway, alright? And good or bad, right around phenomenal world. And then, when you put the water and the dirty clothes, and then next, what do you do? Huh?
Soap.
Yes, soap. And then what do you do?
Turn it on.
if you turn it on, then what happens?
Agitates.
If you turn it on, machine, what the machine happens?
Mixes it all together.
Yeah, mixes together. What to make it possible for the something to mix it together?
Turn around.
Yes, moving. Machine moving. All right.
Agitated.
Oh, that's what I mean. For agitation. I'm sorry. Anyway, moving. Okay. Machine moving. That is our practice, so-called simple activities, constantly. Right. And then simple activity, but the standing on the simple activity, then you can create the world, so-called downness and distraction, pure, impure, and good or bad, right, wrong, funny guys and the beautiful men and the sunny days and winters and many things happen, alright? That is called dirty clothes and clean water. Purity or impurity. And then people are very interested in impurity or purity. And then finally they don't know what to do. Do you understand? But actually, under the dirty clothes and under the clean water, what's there? Under all circumstances, always there is a movement there, alright? And then you can create, this is, pay attention to this one, alright? Don't forget this one. Whatever happens, you like or you don't like, there is a wonderful world there that is called whole universe, you say. Sometimes you say, universe takes care of me. What do you mean the universe? Universe is not a concept. Universe is not something you can get by your head trip. Okay? Universe is something active. If you believe there is a universe must be manifested or realized in your everyday life. Otherwise, no sense of universe. Okay? So, there is a universe which is beyond your consciousness, but that universe must be manifested, realized by you in your everyday life. At that time, universe becomes, anyway, phenomenal world. Okay? Universe blooms its flower. So-called phenomenal world, pure, impure, exist. The universe, what is a pure sense of universe? Pure sense of universe is constantly moving. Okay? Under dirty clothes and clean water, which you cannot see. So movement is invisible. So under all circumstances, whatever you feel from your life, whatever you feel from the world, there is this universe which is working active very much, okay, to support all sentient beings, to create human world. Then what happens? Then there is nothing to attach to so-called dirty clothes, because dirty clothes turn into clean clothes. Clean water becomes dirty water. But usually people don't believe this one, because if you have a concept so-called clean water, it must be, you believe that it must be always clean, always. But that is idealistically, it's true. But it doesn't work in your everyday life. Is that clear? So clean water must be a dirty water in order to make the dirty clothes clean. That is a phenomenal word. That is called intimacy. That is called interdependent coordination. We're helping each other. Right? So all we have to do is to practice Zazen with total activity, which is simple, tidy, and neat, unsophisticated, okay? And then you can see the nightmare and the fears and many things. But if you always concentrate on these activities, the destruction coming up, but it turned into the not destructions. Because always that moving makes it something. Makes it something different. Is that okay? Just like a washing machine. So you don't believe if you sit down, exactly darkness and destruction are struck aside from the beginning. It said Dogen Zenji. Okay? But that is called the unique way to participate in peaceful, harmonious spiritual life. Otherwise, no way. No way. How do you do this? You have to just emulate this practice. Imitate. What the ancestors and Buddhists have done. You have to do it. And then you can really deepen your life and that practice make your life ripe. Okay? And then from this ripeness, from this deepening your life, and then you can create a philosophy, psychology from this depths of well. Okay? Psychology and philosophy and religious teaching coming up. But if people are completely understand the religious teaching in reverse, in the opposite way. First, there is a teaching, and then we try to mold our life into the teaching. Or try to get the knowledge from the teaching, and then try to be free from something. You cannot do it, because your body and mind are always supported by the movement in dynamism, so-called universe. So who are Karagiri? Karagiri is a Karagiri. Finally, what do you mean? Karagiri created his own the phenomenal world, but on that end, Kagi has to stand up constantly in this total dynamic activities as best that he can. And then he can deepen his life, same apply to your life, whatever you do. This is called simple. And the Dogen Zenji here says this is called right entrance to the Buddha Dharma. Right entrance to get into, to participate in peaceful and harmonious human life. Okay? Right, do you have a question?
I have two. The first one has to do way at the beginning of your lecture. You talked about will and activity.
Will.
Purpose, design. And you said that, I wasn't quite sure what you said. It sounded to me like you said that he would start out with will and purpose, and then it would become, it would disappear as one, as you got more, as you became more one with the activity.
If you use it, if you use the will, intention, and volition, instead of being slaved by, slave.
Can you talk about what the difference is?
Slave means your intention, your will is not manifested in a simple way because it is connected with heredity and the karma and the past life and also memories and the self and also your five skandha, your bodies. So it's pretty complicated. Okay? So if you try to manifest your will, intention, it doesn't manifest itself in a simple way. A little bit complicated. Okay? That's why I said, instead of being slaved by intention or purpose and your will, we have to use them. Means you must be master of yourself in whatever situation you may be. Okay? In other words, not to lose the sight of yourself. Do you understand? No?
Not really. I'm not sure what it means not to lose sight of
yourself. Well, for instance, the intention, I want to do zazen, okay? So that intention must be original, must be very simple. So that intention let you do something very simply and truthfully, simply, directly, straightforwardness, okay?
Okay.
But if you do it, if you start to do it, intention gradually vague, vague, you know?
Yeah. Kind of like, if I want to do zazen because I'd like to be a great master because
right, I'm very complicated. Yeah. In the beginning, first beginning of intention is a little bit clear and very nice. But a second stage, second moment, intention becomes a little bit mixed up by something else, you know. Because if you immediately in the first moment, you have experienced something which seems to be good, and then you say, wonderful. And then the intention becomes a little bit, you know, a little bigger. And the next moment you don't experience something nice, so intention becomes pretty degenerated?
Degenerated?
No.
No.
Confused. A little bit confused. So intention is Intention is intention. Originally, it's very simple, but it's not. Finally, you are saved by intention.
I understand.
Okay. Next question.
Can I ask another question? What else wants to ask a question? Toward the end of the lecture, you were talking about the dualism of good and bad, or destruction. Destruction was the word that you used. And you said that from this activity, the dualistic world, destruction and creation, maybe, I don't know if it's on the other side, would arise. Okay. But then, as it arose, the destruction, because of the activity, would become something else.
Mm-hmm.
So, what should be our attitude then toward that destruction?
So that's toward that you should stand up constantly in the place of total activity, just like machine, okay? Which is tidy and neat, so simple activities. Alright? As best as you can.
And
this is attitude toward distractions and downness and the sufferings and many stuff. So your basic activity must be simple and neat as best as you can. When you get opportunity, even in one moment, you try. Okay? That's why we do Zazen. Zazen is simple.
And it will change.
I hope. But don't expect. Because it's not your business. Universal business. That's why Buddha Dogen Zenji said, you throw away yourself into the Buddha's world, then you are drawn in by Buddha's world without using your effort. Because climbing the mountain, in the beginning you use the intention and purpose and through experiencing the lots of complicated procedure. But if the more you devote yourself into the rock mountains, and then finally you forget yourself, you go beyond time, and finally between the rock mountain and you, very nice communication between kind of energy. And then finally, even though you don't use any effort, you just climb the mountains. So finally you can stop it. So who climbed the mountains? Mountain climbs the mountains. That's it. Finally. But usually through this spiritual life, you don't believe this, but climb the mountains and the dancers and the writers and many people experience this one. That's why I suggest that reading the book.
The one that costs $25.
Beyond the boredom and the anxiety. You can read that book. A pretty interesting book. It's pretty close to Zen teaching, but not exactly. But it doesn't matter. You know? It's very interesting. $25.
In the library.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, this one. Oh, sure, maybe so.
So we shouldn't secretly. We may have secretly. Not so secretly. We may have a feeling that what we want that destruction to go away, right? This is human.
The first point. I think if you say distraction and the confusions and human world, I think first of all I mentioned the stand up in their total activity, which is neat and simple and tidy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is how. You must be a little bit, not a little bit, you must be magnanimous. Magnanimous means generous, okay? Your mind first, generous. You know, generosity means not let you be mean, nasty, okay? If you see confusions and angers, etc., you shouldn't be the nasty. It's pretty easy for us to be nasty because if you are the act on angers and your object in angers and the destruction, suffering, etc., according to your emotion, immediately you become nasty pretty easily. So, you shouldn't be a nasty because, you know, dirty clothes turn into the clean waters naturally. Because there is a behind the dirty clothes and the clean waters of the total activities, which is invisible, okay? What make dirty clothes to clean? That is activity behind.
Yeah, okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I guess that's what I was asking you, whether you meant that what arose as destruction, okay, initially, or...
Well, through the form. Yeah, through that, that's why if you become a generous, I think first point is you shouldn't be nasty. Means, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you shouldn't act on immediately. According to your preconception, according to your understanding, immediately, okay? Take time and be generous, okay? And then very naturally, you can see the destruction and the, in a broad scale, little by little. Alright? And then, second is, you should learn broad scale of the human life through destruction and suffering, etc. Sickness, old age, okay? It's not bad. I hope. But in the sense, inside burning, okay? Inside burning, your inside screaming. Do you understand? In other words, your mind is always, you don't accept. Your mind doesn't accept. But that's all right. Suffering through the suffering and the pains and the, you can learn a lot. Okay? Yeah.
I have one. When you say Zazen is the way, by Zazen do you mean sitting in a Zendo regularly or something?
Well, regularly on the, that is best way, regularly on the daily basis, that is kind of making fire by rubbing the, you know, two trees in two branches, you know, if you stop it, you know, you cannot, you miss the chance to make a fire. So on a daily basis, this is pretty nice. Pretty nice, but still it is difficult according to the individual circumstances.
But essentially you see that it should be with the group and with the teacher as opposed to in some...
Not necessarily.
Structured way.
Not necessarily, you can practice by yourself, but I think practice by yourself at your sitting at your home is nice, but sometimes your practice is going in a different way, which you have never seen before. unconsciously, your boat going in a different way, which you have never expected. So you need lots of help. Because if you sit down, how many consciousness you can see, you know, and what kind of experience you have had, you know, it's very difficult for us to solve and to know what to deal with those experiences. Okay? So you need, finally, you need a guidance, you need a help in many ways. But if, as long as possible, you know, as your circumstances is allowed, we try to practice together. But if you cannot, well, you can practice at your own. That's fine.
I have a question. You're talking about in the washing machine and the dirty water and the clean water and the clothes. And I can understand the action or the universe underneath it that's invisible, but I don't understand what the action of the universe underneath sitting zazen would be, because it's still.
It's not still. It's still but active. Both. You can see both. Because if you sit as in the stillness perfectly, you can see the lots of activity of your body and mind. You can get that lots of energy. So totally your whole body working smoothly. So it's not still. And also you can see universe in equality, and your mind becomes peace because your mind penetrates to every inch of beings, trees, birds, and pebbles, and you can share your life. Okay. So most of people say the sitting is pretty inactive, you know. So they want to help people. So instead of sitting zazen, always say, you know, I want to help human beings. So and carrying the poor card and etc. That movement is more attractive to us. But that is a misunderstanding. Okay, I don't mean you shouldn't do it, but if you want to do, that's fine. But if you want to seek the peaceful spiritual life, I think what it is, okay, you have to learn. And also, if you have such a movement, peace work movement, whatever, I think in total activity, there must be always peace. Otherwise, you cannot deal with your activity in dynamism, sharing your life with all sentient beings.
There was a few weeks ago somebody asked you about joy and you said that joy is ego too. That feelings, emotions, including joy, are all coming from the ego.
Yeah, joy is connected with self-consciousness, self-consciousness, self-centeredness, pretty much. Because it is something which you have experienced, okay?
Mm-hmm. But Hojisan, what about the story of the monk who gets up and dances for joy for year after year before he hits the meal con or whatever, before he announces the meal? Do you remember that story?
That's Zen Korg. Hitting the hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah, no. But that is if you explain it, you can use the term joyousness. But that joyousness, which is manifested in his life is something still and quite invisible, because it is very personal. Okay? Joyousness, real peaceful joyousness is very personal. Is that okay? It's very difficult to tell you, or it's very difficult to give it to you to understand it. No.
So you're saying there are two kinds of joy, one which is ego and one which is very quiet that we don't understand yet.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't ego.
So, the joyousness is based on the self-centeredness and also not self-centeredness. But, so that's why self-centeredness turns into the not self-centeredness by quiet, you know, dynamic movement. So called washing machine. Anyway, do you understand? No?
A little bit.
Okay. Good. Listen up.